I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, rejoin.com. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm your host, Lexi Lombard, host of the Lexi Podcast. Thanks for tuning in to a new episode. Last week, I posted an episode with one of my favorite people in the world. She is truly one of a kind and one of the most interesting people to exist on the planet at this moment. And I stand on 2 feet when I say that, and I'll say that with my whole chest. Caroline Yoffeldano, she is a creative, has insane interior design, is a filmmaker, just made a short film. She has one of the most interesting eyes, and she has such an extreme approach to life, and I think truly moves through this world in extremes. It's through her house, through her outfits, through her fitness, and recently she's been training for marathons, and I find her whole approach really fascinating. She's brilliant, and it was really fun to have a conversation with her. So not only can you listen to that episode, you can watch it on YouTube, youtube.com/LexiLombard. And if you did like it and you were one of the people to leave really sweet DMs or comments, I'm so glad that it was well received, and it feels good to be posting on YouTube. And I can't lie, having that video podcast go up on YouTube reignited my interest to post a vlog on YouTube, and seeing the comments in that vlog on YouTube pushed me and motivated me to do it again. So I will have another vlog going up on Friday. It has been so fun. If you're a regular listener to the pod, I have been going through a little funk, but it was less personal, or I should say it wasn't entirely personal. I was having a familial hard time. My family lost not one, but 2 family members in December, and that came as a shock to a lot of us, and that was hard to process. And then I come back home from the holidays, and the city is on fire. That was unexpected, horrifying. And then now we're here in Los Angeles, a lot of us just acting like it's business as usual, which also felt incredibly strange. We also had the inauguration. The presidential office has changed. We see the despicable acts of Elon Musk and the rest of his little army. It's all disgusting. It inspired me, though, to write my first Substack article called Baby Trap a Billionaire: My Solution to Climate Change. It's a 1-page read. A lot of you are so sweet and so nice and have always supported my dream to write a book, and that felt like the way to practice. I want to join a writing group, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. Essentially, the picture I'm trying to paint is that if you're a regular listener to the pod, I have been in a gloom. You know, I've had a case of the melancholy, and it was depressing me for obvious reasons. And then on top of that, you know, sugar on top, the sprinkles on the ice cream, I felt I was looking really weird. My skin felt like it had aged 20 years in a month, and I was so confused, and I thought, you know, I'm a white person, we crack, maybe I'm starting soon, I turn 29 in a couple weeks, maybe I'm just gonna start aging early. And it just happens that way. And I also am someone that believes in science. I believe in the evidence, but I also believe in magic. And I truly believe that we have the power to change our appearance based on our thoughts, based on our energy. I think we are a lot more powerful than we think. So for instance, I've had really, knock on wood, literally knocked, have had good skin for years. I've really managed my skincare and figured it out, and I know what works for me. And I was sort of following suit. Nothing was super out of the ordinary. I had switched from tretinoin to retinol, but the retinol I was using was hypothetically milder. So I just try to get myself in the headspace. You know, you have good skin, you glow from the inside out. Having little mantras infiltrate my subconscious. And it wasn't until a friend pointed out to me the Cetaphil cleanser that I was using was not just your run-of-the-mill gentle cleanser. I just assumed because it was Cetaphil, it had to be gentle. It was some salicylic acid exfoliant, but there was no beads in it, so I hadn't really paid attention. And I was using it with retinol, and it was drying my skin out. I mean, I had red lines and marks all over my face. It's been 3-4 days now since I've switched to a normal gentle cleansing wash. And then I double up on my moisturizer. We are good to go. We are back in business. And it's always so humbling to my little magical beliefs that, not little, grand, my grand magical beliefs when it is something so concrete. Like there is a reason, you know? It's not because my subconscious is not aligned. It's because I was using a harsh cleanser with it. It's chemistry. That's what was causing that issue. So I was having a lot of funks, and on top of it, I felt ugly. At least I was working out and I'm in incredible shape, so I could hold on to that. But then it got to the point where I was so depressed that that's all I could do was work out, eat, and sleep. That was it. And I convinced myself, it's okay. You're training like an athlete. And my friend who was also gone for the holidays came back and we were having a catch up. She's like, Lexi, what happened? You're one of the most creative, interesting people I know. And you're telling me that the most exciting thing in your life are your workouts, the dates you've been on, and your dog? Come on now, that can't be enough. And she sat me down and we did a 3-month, 1-year mind map, which I want to make a YouTube video where I walk you through it and you can do it with me. Changed the goddamn game. It changed the game. This was a depression that was circumstantial, and that is so much easier to fix than when it's not. There were obvious reasons for my gloom. There was obvious reasons that I was in the blues, and to have a friend yank me out of that felt so good, because the advice that I've been telling myself is the advice that I've been hearing. You know, the only one that can save yourself is you. And dealing with mental health over the years, I've become so accustomed to the typical snowball. You know, I see the early signs of my stability, my mental sanity starting to crumble a little bit. And normally I can catch it and build myself back up because I have coping mechanisms in place. But too much was beating me down, and it was so beautiful and reassuring to know that we do have a community and we have a support system and friends can pull you out when you're in trouble. It felt like I was in a hole and she grabbed my arm, she grabbed my hand, and she yanked me out. And so thank you, Miss Tyra Booker. I love you so much. And whatever mentor taught you the 3-month mind map, my YouTube audience is about to see it. So if that's of your interest, keep an eye out. And that was 2 weeks ago, which is how long it's been since I've had a solo episode. And now I'm on a roll. I took action. I had this editor that I really wanted to work with in some capacity, and then I could not find her email for some reason. I kind of thought, all right, well, you know, good is gone. Unfortunately, that sucks. Hopefully I find her. You know, I also was working with management, and financially it wasn't a good match. So 2 in 1 week, I hired an editor, I found her, and I not fired my management, because that sounds so much harsher, because they're great people, and it just felt like it wasn't a good fit, so I did not continue the trial, I should say. I feel so reinvigorated, and this might be a niche experience and only relevant if you work in content creation and have management, but there has to be an equivalent for you. But it felt that any opportunity that came my way, if it wasn't through the system, it felt like it wasn't possible. I couldn't be creative with it. It felt like there were agencies that work with brands. We'll use Levi's as an example. You know, it feels like Levi's works with an agency, and the agency reaches out to different management, and they're like, hey, we're interested in girls that would want to come to our event and wear our jeans and do a social post. As opposed to my friend saying that she went to college with someone at Levi's and then finding that contact at Levi's and hopping on a call and just seeing what she's up to, seeing how we could collaborate, and instead of fitting myself into a specific campaign, see if there's something that's not written down already, instead of fitting myself into something to create something new. And so I've been taking meetings, and it's been exciting. And I just got one of my first jobs. I had been volunteering. Okay, I went one time. Let's
not have myself paint an incorrect picture. But will I go back? 100%. But while I was volunteering is what I should say. Tangent. I have such a weird fear over being caught lying for some reason. My brain believes that even a slip up of words, you know, a very innocent mistake in terms of wording, I'll perpetually think I'm going to be caught as a liar. And it scares me for some reason. I'm constantly afraid of lying. It's so strange. And I have never really taken that into therapy. And we've touched on it a little bit. I think I know why I have it. I think there's some, you know, people that I grew up with that maybe impacted me this way, if you know what I mean. I was volunteering and the guy who runs the charity also runs another company and it's really sick. And I just asked if he ever needed anything to let me know. And he actually was like, I have a project that we're working on. We're going to start it on Monday. Can you come into the office? So today I was at the office shooting content all day and it was so much fun. I'm an extrovert. I like getting up and getting out and working and working with others. And when you work for yourself, you have so much control that it's really easy to limit yourself. I always think of an example of if a teacher were to say, you can write about anything you want, anything in the whole world. And if you don't have an actual idea, it's really hard to start. But if someone says, write about the first pet you ever had, suddenly you have direction. You have something to do. And I think when you're self-employed, the world is your oyster. And that can become overwhelming if you don't have an actual idea, if you don't have direction. And all of this ebbs and flows. So to get to go to an office and work with other people, even just as a freelancer or like a project contract, really nice, really fun. Also, I didn't have to go in until like mid-morning, so I got to wake up, have a nice slow morning to myself. I took Spoon to the park for an hour and we ran around. Very fun, very fun. Came back, did a little bit of work, napped. All I've been trying to do in my spare time is catch up in Severance. Everyone and their mother is like, can you believe Severance is back? Didn't you love Severance season one? And Tyra and I watched, that's my roommate and my bestie. She's the one who motivated me, pulled me out of my depression. We were trying to watch it last year and we kept falling asleep. And I think it's something with the soundtrack, the liminal space. It's relaxing as much as it should be tense and it should keep you alert. It's a lullaby to me. And I keep putting it on because everyone says, oh, it's the last episode of season one. That's everything. Wasn't that the most amazing episode of television? And so I put it on and I fell asleep. And then I put it on and I finished it and season two began and I fell asleep and I knocked out for an hour and a half this afternoon. I fell asleep around 5 and then I woke up and it was 6:30 and the sun had set and we have a friend coming in town for the next few days and she's about to land. So I figured we got to record the podcast. I got to get it going. I need to chat. I need to chat about my excitement. I get to chat about my manifestation coming to life, which is going to Australia and going to New Zealand. I am so excited. I had referenced how I'm really wanting to do that. And then out of nowhere, I start going to this circuit training that's called Training Mate, and it's an Australian company. And then I'm invited on this little road trip in October, and it's with my friend that's opening for an Australian band. And then we all get along so well that they invite her and me to come on their tour in Australia. So I am going to Australia and New Zealand, and I think I'll be there for my birthday, which I'm so excited. I've never been, obviously, and I have no idea what to expect, but I don't care. I'm not much of an anticipator. I don't like to anticipate. It honestly ruins everything for me. If I have time to think about something, I don't want time to think about it. Just let me go for it right now. I'll think about it later. I'll reflect on it maybe if I feel so inclined. I'll never forget watching a video of a YouTuber. Actually, I think it was Aspen Ovard. Me. I'll never forget. Who was it? I'm 99.9% sure it was Aspen Ovard, and she was talking about how she liked planning trips more than going on them. If it wasn't Aspen, I'm so sorry. The sentiment is still the same, that the idea of picking out where to go, when to fly, where to stay, what restaurants to go to, that was all exciting for her. Oh my God, I can't think of a worse activity for me. That sounds like a nightmare. None of that sounds cool. I want to hear, hey, Lex, Babe Rainbow's going to Australia on a tour. You want to come? Yes. Yes. Hey, Lex, I was invited to a football game. You want to come? I want to be an invite. I want to be a professional plus one. That is so fun to me. I'll bring the vibes. I'll bring the fun. I'm a great invite. I don't like to plan. It is not my strong suit. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit, but I can plan in work. I do not like to plan in my personal life if I can avoid it. What am I doing next Wednesday? ask me next Wednesday. So Australia, I will be turning 29 there, or maybe on the airplane. Either way, I'm so excited to be in the later part of my 20s. 30 looks nice and shiny and bright. It's way younger than I thought it would feel. And I always remember my mom telling me this, that you never really feel old, which I think is a good sentiment to her life. And I'm sure not everybody feels that way. But when I was 12 and I heard that my friend had an older sibling from another marriage that was 30, I'd be like, oh my God, that is an adult. I feel so connected to my 12, 13, 14-year-old self. I also find it to be very interesting that once my frontal cortex finished developing, I swear I felt more aligned with my childhood self than I did my early 20-something. This is anecdotal evidence, but my experience was being my childhood self, existing as a child, existing as a tween, and once I hit puberty, I was trying to run away from everything that I knew. I was swinging the pendulum the other way that everyone tends to do. You rebel, you experiment, you start hanging out with people that are very different from what you're used to. And I feel when I even look at photos of myself when I was 19, 20, 21, I don't recognize her. Whereas when I look at photos of myself when I'm 11, 8, 6, even 15, I'm like, aw, little legs. And I feel like I look more like her than I do my late teen, early 20 self. That all felt so awkward. So I am glad to be leaving it behind. I'll love it for what it was, but I wouldn't want to return. There's no need. I'm excited to be 29. I've loved being 28, and I'm excited to enter my 30s. God willing, I make it. I would be so glad to experience it. So starting it off in a country that I've never been to with one of my best friends will be really, really fun. And I hope I do a few more trips. I would like to go to Hawaii. I would like to go to Cape Cod. I would like to do a little East Coast trip. I have gone down a rabbit hole of Appalachian communities, and I've been watching a lot of Appalachian TikTok. And I just watched a 1-hour drive of someone going through the Appalachian Mountains in West Virginia towards Virginia. And it makes me want to go to Tennessee or West Virginia in the summer. Even just deep cut Virginia. I love Virginia. I want to spend more time in Middleburg. It's one of my favorite places in the whole world. I would love to have a house there with horses. So I want to do a little trip like that. I can't believe that it's New Year and I already feel like this year is flying by. January took 10 years. February has been 3 days long and it's almost over. And I can't believe it's about to be March. And I also feel very inspired by the video podcast. I don't know if you know this, but that all makes me incredibly nervous. When I'm here as a solo podcast host, doing a solo episode, easy peasy, diary style, this is a life update. This isn't even a structured episode. So I can come to you as I am. If I make a mistake, so be it. If I need to pause for 10 minutes, so be it. If I don't record the first 20 minutes, oh, that's annoying, but so be it. Add another person to the mix, suddenly there's pressure. Okay, they've taken time out of their day to be a part of something. What if I don't ask the right questions? What if I am not producing it correctly? So what I've noticed is I had clips that I promoted on my social media and they are just not that crystal clear. You know, it's filmed with kind of a basic camera and it's a little blurry, and the more you zoom in, the worse it gets. So I'm asking my friend who records her podcast from home if I can just go shadow her next episode. And she's like, yeah, and you can borrow my camera anytime. I'm like, no, I'm intimidated. I need to see the setup first and then I will borrow your camera. But I've been inspired to continue bringing guests on the podcast. I want to bring sort of your influencer's favorite influencer. I want to bring maybe some deeper cuts, like a little bit more niche people, but even like cult classic influencers, like a Sotsi or something, or like a Sai Swoon. I'd love to ask them so many questions. I think Caroline was a really good example. Chris Clemens was in town and I wanted to get him on the show. I wanted to get him on the pod, but he got laryngitis. Like even just him on his way home, and we were going to see if he wanted to get drinks because we had hung out the day before and it seemed like a totally different person. He had lost his voice. So unfortunately that didn't work. But if he comes back to LA, he's on the list. Who else do I want to talk to? I think Harmony Trivedad would be cool. I don't know. Do you have any ideas or requests? I would love to know. I need to get Emily on. I need to bring back Pick My Fit. The fact that Tyra Booker never had an episode on Pick My Fit is a bit of a crime. It's a bit of a crime. Yeah. Want to bring that back. Oh, you know who I want to have on the podcast? Alexa J. I love her. I just want to have a list of cultural zeitgeist, current events, finger on the pulse, and just get her reactions. I think she has great reactions. Oh, she's so good. I love her. Go follow her on TikTok. It's been so fun. I was so in a daze for January, and I feel as if I'm finally coming back to life. I was in such a fog. I could have slept forever. Like, I was wanting to go to bed early and take a nap. I'm telling you, all I did is I would wake up, work out, be so exhausted from the workout that I would want to be horizontal again, over-caffeinate to avoid being horizontal, get anxious from the over-caffeination, need to sit down and relax from said over-caffeination, hence being horizontal and it being completely counterproductive, and dilly-dally until I had to get some menial task done, avoid it at all costs. And then the sun would set and I would think, oops, I'll try again tomorrow. And when my mental health is low, my house has never been cleaner. Oh my God, things are spotless. I'm so the opposite of a space is a representation of your mind. A cluttered home is a cluttered mind. No. If my house is a little cluttered, that means I'm out and about having fun and I haven't been home, and that's good for me. I'm not a homebody. I like my alone time. I need to recharge and I like being home, but I would rather be out a majority of the time. My best days are if I'm outside 75% of it. That's all. I only need 25% of my time alone, 25% of my time at home. The rest, I want to be out and about, living my life, experiencing it all. So if I have a perfectly clean counter, I'm ready to pull out the label maker, my friends know, ring the alarms, she's not okay. Whereas I have clutter, oh, she's been out. She's socializing, she's having fun, she's busy. Happiness walks on busy feet. So I'm feeling considerably better. I was feeling so gray and it felt like my skin was looking gray. To find out it was a cleanser was hysterical to me. Like, wait a second, I'm not having a physical representation of my mental health. I figured that had to be it. I'd lost the light in my eyes. Why not the light in my skin? But both came back due to mindset shifts and product replacement. So I'm feeling much better and I'm feeling excited. And I want to record episodes with people. I think it should be every other. Maybe that's ambitious because I don't have a good camera. And it's really, I don't like the sound of it either. I'm being picky. Improvements are good. That means I have direction and something to do. So that's where I'm at. That's my little life update. I hope you all are well. And let's see what you're doing. I asked for questions on Instagram, so let's get into them. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Here's a fact that may not surprise you. 66% of men are investing in the stock market compared to only 48% of women. Multiple studies have shown that women are actually better investors than men. Why? Because men are overconfident and women actually do their research. The quote-unquote investing gap means less women have the chance to build wealth now and can have huge repercussions down the road when it comes time for them to retire. The good news is that Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with spare money that you have right now. You also don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start investing in just 5 minutes. I believe that financial freedom is the only freedom. So sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Lexi or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advertiser. View important disclosures at acorn.com/Lexi.
Everyone and their mother has heard of Wegovy and Ozempic. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, which is the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for 80% less. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. The four reasons I like Effecty are 1, upfront pricing. They're transparent, it's fair, and there's no hidden fees, unlike a lot of the companies out there. And there's no membership required, and you can cancel at any time. 2, hands-on support. So you get a dedicated customer service team and unlimited access to licensed doctors, whether figuring out dosage or helping you stay on track. They are there to guide you. 3, accessibility. No matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments, so the entire process is online and remote. And 4, science-backed treatments. The GLP-1 medications are backed by clinical studies showing significant weight loss results. They focus on sustainable weight management, not just helping you lose weight, but keeping it off with science-backed solutions. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code Lexi at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com. And use the code Lexi to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. Your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors that you don't even know. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they're all messing with our hormones. And then on top of it, there's the natural hormonal change that our bodies go through. Premenopause, menopause, our monthly cycle. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't also suffer through it. The good news is there are people that care, and we don't need to suffer through it anymore because we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Symptoms like PMS irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings. Menopause symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com. And use the code Lexi for 15% off today.
Starting off strong, starting off fun. Mady Armstrong, a classic listener username. Always love to see it. Fave snack right now. So many. Classic, oldie but a goodie, apples and peanut butter. Can never go wrong. Another snack I like to make is doing a sort of self-made trail mix. So I will take walnuts, pecans. I don't really like them, but I know they're nutritious. I'll put those in to try to get the benefits. And then I'll do like a little mini cheese sandwich cracker. You know, like the Ritz ones, but I like the Whole Foods brand. So I'll do either a peanut butter or a cheese of those, pumpkin seeds. Allegedly, they make your boobs grow. Why wouldn't I want that? Add some of those in. If I have a little popcorn, I'll add that in. That's a fun snack. Just recently got papaya. That's been fun. I've been making pitchers of iced tea, a little green tea peppermint. Oof, that's fun. My friend who went to culinary school for like 3 months in France had just made me or given me, she didn't just make it for me. See, all these disclaimers, these weird, like, God forbid I say that she made me instead of she gave me. Who's gonna call the police? Me on myself. It's like I got too high and I'm like, oh no, I'm the problem. Arrest me for lying or making a mistake. It's a weird paranoia. I digress. My friend had made this, what was it? She had made this charred vanilla and Prosecco syrup, and that was so good to add into matchas. California's cool because you can get tacos on the street, so literally I had a taco as a snack today. That was awesome. A little steak with onion, cilantro, a little verde sauce. Perfect. Absolute perfection. Terrell Luna asked how to make journaling a habit. You need to leave your journal out or bring it with you. You need to find how you like to journal. So I am sort of an all-encompassing journal type of girl. I want to write my to-do list, my diary entries, my doodles, my ideas for a video, a phone number that I need to call for a vet, all in the same notebook. That's just my pad of paper for this point in time. If you're someone that likes to have your diary, and then you want to have your to-do list notebook, and you want to have your ideas journal and your manifesting journal, that's great. Maybe that's what works for you. I find that if it's too separated, I almost end up using none of them. Or let's say I bring my journal to the park and I'm like, well, I wanted to do a diary entry and I brought the manifestation one, or I, you know, wanted to come up with video ideas, but all I have here is my diary. I just would rather have it all in one place. And then you need to find the pens you like to use. You want to make journaling as comfortable and as least intimidating as possible. I think a lot of people don't even like writing on the first page of a journal when they get it. They're very intimidated. Your journals should not be precious. Your books should not be precious. These are tools. These are ways to express yourself. Never write with the intention of ever looking at that page again. And I think that's very freeing. You want to get into the habit of journaling by having your journal in plain sight, having it at easy access, having a good pen, And in my head, allowing yourself to write anything in it at any time and allow it to be ugly. Angela Wu asked for an empty that I will be repurchasing. So I love this little trend. It's been a YouTube trend. It's now a TikTok trend where you share your recent empties, products that you've used all the way through. And I just recorded one on TikTok maybe like a couple weeks ago, and that was fun. And I've since been collecting products that I finish again. And off the top of my head, Cycler body wash. Am I biased? Probably. But is it an absolute fabulous body wash? Yes. Yes, it is so good. The scents are so good. Absolutely repurchasing, getting that again. Shout out Cycler. Another product, my iron supplement. I am low in iron and I'm cold and I will have little energy sometimes. And then if I take my iron supplement, I can tell a difference. I used to take a synthetic iron supplement, never noticed a difference. It wasn't working. And then I got this iron supplement called Lifeblood. A little disgusting at first, but I've been taking it for probably 2 years, so I'm so used to it. But it's liver and spleen and white blood cells and red blood cells, and I will link it below. And finally, I have a code for it. I've literally told everyone and their mother about this damn iron pill. But if you're low in iron, it'll change your life. My friend was like, it didn't do anything for me. And I was like, you're not low in iron. She's like, that's true. So if you're not low in iron, don't expect this to be life-changing. If you're low in iron and you've taken iron supplements before and they've done nothing for you, try this one because it's the real deal. It's expensive, but I've never found anything like it. So that's one that I'm on subscription for. I pay for that every, I think I'm maybe on like a 2 or 3 month subscription, but I love that trend on TikTok. And something else I saw recently, I was on Substack, which I'll link my Substack article down below if you want to learn how to baby trap a billionaire, because at this point, save yourself. We're not all going to make it, but if you have an in, take it, girl, take it. Reproduce, baby trap them. I'll have a list. But I was on Substack and I saw a weird article. Now, if you're a longtime viewer of my YouTube channel, since maybe 2015, 2016, I had a YouTube series that's ongoing called Weird. And Weird is an acronym that stands for what I've been wearing, eating, impressed by, reading, downloading, and doing. And TikTok has gotten rid of, I think, the D in downloading because Weird didn't need to have two Ds. And people will do slideshows of what they've been wearing, eating, impressed by, reading and doing. And I saw someone that I followed on Substack do it. And she's like, per TikTok trend. And it was so insane to see something that you created, like something that was only on your channel, like that was your thing, and then see it work. That also happened with what high schoolers are actually wearing. I was like working with managers at the time and creating something, and then all of a sudden seeing other people do it, it's always so startling to me. Then there was the trend that I boosted. I'd seen this Mennonite, because I love going and watching content from people that are living the quote unquote simple life, that are so detached from the modern world. I find that significantly more fascinating than the richest people in the world. To me, that's so expected. I think I can imagine, I can see it. It doesn't pique my curiosity. So anyway, I was watching this Mennonite YouTuber for quite some time, and she had made this how much I spent in a week as a X-year-old in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it was such a good video idea. So then I made it how much money I spent in a week as a, I don't know, maybe I was 24-year-old living in New York City, 23-year-old living in New York City. And that blew up. Everyone and their mother was making those videos. But that one, I it wasn't original. But the Weird, that's crazy to see other people do. And so part of me wanted to claim it. I wanted to comment and be like, no way that this is trending. That's mine. not that I own it, but that was a weird sensation. I'm so weird about copying, because it's not like I was even making those anymore. And also it's not like it's a format. So what someone's wearing or eating or reading is not going to be the same as mine. But for some reason I felt, is jealous the right word? I don't know. Offended? No. How did I feel? I had this intense urge to let everyone know I did it first, but then I felt really foolish for wanting to do that. So I exited out of the app. We met in 57, asked for favorite romantic gestures that don't cost much. A letter, a love letter. That will never, ever, ever get old. A declaration of all the things you love about me. Ugh. Every day, every year, every holiday, I would take it all. And girls love that.
You've seen the memes. Girls want nothing more than to be described. If you can just tell your girl all of the things that you love about her that make her so fun and so sweet and so sexy and so special, that'll mean the world to her. And I mean, me and all my friends, we're keeping those letters. I literally have letters from people I am not in contact with and will probably never be in contact with. But if they gave me even the littlest token of love, I love having that memorabilia, and that costs nothing. I also think it's sort of adorable when people will pluck wildflowers and make a wildflower bouquet. That's really special. Cooking something to sort of up the ante and make a recipe that's a little bit more than just your run-of-the-mill weekly meal could be really special to cook together. I mean, really, the love letter. I think that's top tier. All you need is a pen and paper. J.L. Kleinstein, how do you navigate burnout? Burnout from work, love, life, heartache, grief, etc. You have to surrender to it. It's so frustrating because you want to fight it. You want to persevere. You want to push through it. You want to prove to yourself that you have the tenacity, that you have the grit, that you can move on past this pain. You have to surrender to it. If life has beaten you down, give yourself a second to recoup and sit. Think if you just got punched in the stomach. Life has metaphorically punched you in the stomach. It's not wrong to react. It's not wrong to get the wind knocked out of you and then need to sit down and catch your breath. And so when you're experiencing burnout, you've had the wind knocked out of you. Sit down, catch your breath. If you allow yourself to catch your breath, you can heal and you can keep going. You can get back up and you can do it again. Ugh. Girl, I feel you. Raccoon cowgirl. Tips for staying aware of the world news while staying mindful of mental health. If you have notifications on your phone, turn them off. I still have the New York Times notifications on my phone, so even just seeing headlines is sometimes a bit overwhelming. If you have the Citizen app, turn off those notifications. Like, seek out the news. Choose when to have it on. I grew up in a household where the news was on perpetually. It was the first thing my parents put on in the morning, and I think it was probably the last thing they were looking at night, just to see probably like if schools were open in the winter, if there was going to be a snow day, traffic, weather, etc. We all have social media now, and we have apps on our phones, so I'm not turning on the TV to get the weather, but you have the repeating news cycle on in the background, and whether or not you're paying attention to it, it's still entering your subconscious. So I would first eliminate any unnecessary notifying. You know, if you're getting too many notifications, if you can feel your heart racing, if you can feel your anxiety rising, eliminate that from the equation. Also, find news sources that you trust. I've recently, in the past 2 years, become familiar with News Nation. I find them to be pretty centered, and that feels a little bit more comforting, potentially. But take a break. It's fine. If something is big enough news, you'll hear about it without having to seek it. Linda asked for my current fashion obsession. She said that hers are polka dots. I love them so much. I love polka dots. They remind me of my mom. They remind me of Virginia. Something about black and white polka dots with a red accessory reminds me of my mom so much. And every time I wear it, I think she would love this outfit. She would love it. What have I been loving lately? I don't know. I've been a little bored of my closet. I want new jeans. I've been really obsessed with Tank Air. Tank Air makes these tank tops that really like you in and then like lift the boobs. It's so LA. It's just so LA. To be in low-rise jeans and then a really tight tank top, then maybe like a camo hat and platform Uggs. That's the most LA girl outfit right now, but I do be liking Tank Air. I do love it. But I have been looking at my closet and I feel a little uninspired, which truthfully, I think I just need to shed the fat, trim the fat, and only keep the things that I really want, because I do have plenty of stuff that doesn't look good on me. And you know what? I recently got a color analysis done. I made a little video for my Instagram if you're curious. And I can't avoid noticing which colors are my colors. Whereas before, I didn't really know. And now when I try something on in my closet and I know it's not one of my colors, or I know that it's not even close, it's actually one of the colors that is least flattering on me, I can't turn a blind eye. I'm too aware of it. So I kind of want to get rid of those clothes. And I want new jeans. Did I already say that? I want like really sexy jeans. No more baggy, but not really skinny either. But not wide. Like, I don't know what I want. I want the perfect jean. I want it to be boot cut with a slight flare, but I want it tight on the thighs and tight on the ass and perfectly fitting in the waist. I want the perfect jean. Don't we all want the perfect jean? I think that's the Levi's 501. Just need to go shopping. Gabby asked for my favorite nail color and shape.
I love a red nail on the hands and I love French tips on the toes. As for shape, square for toes and then sort of an almond oval for hands. And recently I've been growing my nails out because I'm no longer rock climbing and I've been informed about hard gel where they do a couple coats of clear gel and they'll do a colored gel polish on top. And so your actual real nails feel like acrylic nails and my nails are growing longer. And I would love to have long nails now that I'm not climbing and I can't wait to have long red nails. Gabby asked for my go-to coffee order. I haven't been getting coffee out very much. I get the Trader Joe's creamer that's coconut and almond. I feel like it has some sort of like blue coloring on it. I think the font's blue. Very basic. For some reason, it's so good. And so I'll make an Americano in my espresso machine. And I've been using Canyon Coffee for my espresso. And then I add that creamer. And then on top of that, if I'm going to a workout class, I've been drinking Celsius, which is a little crazy. I think that's also contributing to why I was feeling nuts. I was drinking so much caffeine. There are some people that can handle it. They jokingly drink enough caffeine to kill a small horse and laugh it off. You know, truly drinking their Celsius at 9 p.m. I would be a shell of myself. The thing is, I wouldn't die because that was what I was going to dramatically say. Like, I would die. No, I would feel so uncomfortable inside my own skin and not know why. I wouldn't make the connection. I'm so dumb sometimes. Like, I will be drinking so much caffeine and be like, I just feel really weird. Like, I don't feel good and not make the connection. Like, knock, knock, bitch, wake up. So all that to say, my go-to coffee order is making hot coffee at home. Thanks, Gabby. Went a little off course for a second. Zelia asked for my go-to meals to cook for lunch or dinner, struggling with inspiration. I hate when I'm in a food rut. I was in one for quite some time and I've recently come out of it. The meals that I'm enjoying right now, soup dumplings. I was ordering them takeout. Now I just get them from Trader Joe's and they just really hit the spot. So I always have some soup dumplings in my freezer. For breakfast, I've been having yogurt with apples and I have this puffed millet and some pumpkin seeds. Oh, Spoon just woke up. Do you have to go potty? Okay, yeah, he's scratching my head. 1 second, I'll be back. And we're back. Oh, dinner inspiration. I've always been above this. But recently, in my grocery haul of the week, I'll get one bag salad. So normally I'll just get a green and I'll make the salad myself, but I've been wanting to get more vegetables in, so I'll get a pre-made salad mix at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. But I was saying I'll do like a yogurt bowl for breakfast. I also recently just got buckwheat per recommendation from my acupuncturist, who is truly a magician. Talk about... Anytime I have physical pain, when I injured my back, fixed it in, I mean, even just one session, like 45 minutes where I'm driving to the session and every bump of the road, every little pebble, it seems that I can feel. And then I drive out of there like nothing happened. Same thing. I was working out so hard the past few weeks because as I said, that was all I was doing. My knees were killing me and I was going to her for my knees and she has a sort of diet that she recommends and buckwheat is on it. So I've been making little buckwheat like bowls, sort of like oatmeal. What else have I been having for lunch? I have been so inspired. You have to go watch her. You have to go. Her name is Allison. And what is her username? It's Ali Queeks. Okay, Allison Wong. She's a ceramicist and she makes the most beautiful little girl lunches where she has these cutie pie carrots and a soft-boiled egg and sweet potatoes and chicken sausage. And I love watching her plate her lunch and like fresh herbs and it just looks so nutritious and delicious. And so I bought enormous sweet potatoes, like the two different purple ones, like not the one that I was eating back in the day when I thought that was the only sweet potato. I've learned more. I've learned and expanded my horizons. So I got the one that has purple skin with a white inside, which I think is just a Japanese sweet potato. And then the one that's purple and purple on the inside. And I roasted big slices of them. And I have that with arugula and sriracha. And that's really nice. And then when I go out, I try to get steak because it's my favorite food. And randomly now, it's trending in the health industry. So all my friends that keep up with health trends are all about steak. And I've been on the bandwagon for just about my whole life, sans the 3 years that I was vegan. And so now everybody's down to get steak. Dash asked, do you want babies? Yes and no. Like, yes, hypothetically, but no in practice. Maybe I'll adopt. I want to be a mom. I want to have a child. But the state of this world, I'm supposed to bring a kid into it? Are you kidding me? No pun intended. So yes and no. Like, I might say no and then have them, or I might say I want them and then never have them. I don't know. Hypothetically, yes, but I don't know if I will. Want, yes. Will I? Unsure. TBD. Aw, Isabella, this is so sweet. She just asked if Spoon has any doggy friends. Okay, well, Spoon's first friend was an Australian shepherd named Benji. Benji lives in Virginia with two of my hometown friends, Ashley and Lucas. And then Spoon's second friend was Seymour, my friend's dachshund. And they are similar sizes, and we evacuated together during the fires. So they really bonded. And Seymour's 4, and at this point, Spoon was 4 months old. And Seymour, I mean, Spoon adored Seymour, and Seymour like puts up with Spoon, but they still hang out. And then my friend has a pit bull named Peaches and a pincher named Moose. And Spoon has the biggest crush on the pit bull. Oh my God, Spoon loves Peaches. And Peaches is so strong. And Spoon is so small. He is so tiny. He's tiny compared to Moose. And now when we're on our walks and he sees a pit bull, I'm like, oh my God, he has a type. He has a type. And I'm like, we have to be a little cautious. Like, he doesn't like all big dogs. A lot of big dogs scare him, but for some reason, pit bulls, like, he loves a pit bull. And then a lot of small dogs don't like him, but he loves small dogs because he doesn't have that weird, he's submissive. I took him to a dog care and he got a report card back, and he has submissive posturing. So he's not going to be one of those little dogs that goes up to the big dogs and rah, 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 rah. No. He knows he's tiny and he knows they're bigger and he proceeds accordingly. So when he meets a small dog that just wants to fight, Spoon's like, whoa, like, we're both tiny. I don't really understand why you're acting this way. But then over the weekend, my friend and her boyfriend have two dogs, a mini Australian Shepherd and a sort of like giant or mini Schnauzer. It's like some sort of mix where he's either like bigger than he's supposed to be for one breed, but then smaller for another. But it's really similar to Peaches and Moose, where Spoon's the smallest and it just looks like a little small, medium, large when they go hang out. It's so sweet. That's so sweet that you asked me if he has friends. Spoon loves other dogs. We've had to learn though, a lot of dogs, not a lot, but not every dog likes him. It was a little bit hard during the holidays when I brought him home because a lot of my friends have their family dogs that they grew up with. And so these dogs are between 8 and 12 years old. They want nothing to do with a puppy. Meanwhile, all Spoon wants to do is play. So it's been good with my friends who have gotten dogs in their adult life. So max they're going to be is like 4 years old. Aww, that's my little guy. He's so shy. Isabella also asked, popsicle or ice cream cone? I mean, a soft serve ice cream cone is one of my absolute favorite desserts. Like, there are so many delicious sweets in this world, but when it comes down to it, I truly think the ones that I would want on my death row meal are a perfect soft serve ice cream cone and a chocolate chip cookie. Like, the absolute perfect homemade chocolate chip cookie. That's what I want. But on a really, really, really hot day when dairy is just not going to cut it and you need ice, give me a popsicle. Favorite hikes? I lately have been going to Elysian Park. I live sort of in between Griffith and Elysian, so I could really go to either, but I'm becoming more familiar with Elysian and I really like it. It has a really good variety of terrain. It also has a really good variety of plants and greenery. It's fun to look at. There's places there that look like a jungle, places that look like the East Coast, places that you're like, oh wow, honey, it's Glendale. What don't they have? Haley asked if there's any TV shows that have moved me lately. My two favorite TV shows that I've ever watched are The White Lotus, which is now back on, and that's going to be my treat after I record this episode. I can't wait to watch episode 2, and Hacks. The writing on those are incredible. I mean, season 1 of The White Lotus is an absolute masterpiece. Truly a masterpiece, from the writing to the casting, visually, sonically. And then season 2 was fine, but season 1, it was a masterpiece. And I'm really looking forward to season 3. It feels a little bit more reminiscent of season 1, and I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe because Thailand and Hawaii feel a little bit more culturally similar than Italy. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just excited to watch episode 2. And Hacks, same thing. Perfect casting, perfect writing. I love it. It hooked me in. And I love a story of a generational gap in a relationship. I think it just makes things interesting. I think there's something nice about having a generational gap, enough to have like a full generation in between you and someone else. Like, I was always close to my grandparents. I don't know. I love Hacks. So if you haven't seen either of those, cannot recommend enough. Would I say Severance? I don't know, because I can't stay awake to finish it. Haley also asks, favorite birthday party theme you've ever been to? I don't know about ever been to, but Claudia had a birthday last weekend and it was a pajama party. And it was so great for a city like LA where a lot of people have their guards up. I think because the social scene and the industry are so interlocked that parties feel like networking and people have a hard time opening up and letting loose. So already it's going to be a little bit more disarming in the comfort of a house. But then to be in your pajamas, to be in your comfy cozies, I have not had a party where I'm falling into that many long conversations in ages. When I'm hanging out at someone's house in my pajamas, there's max 5 of us, I would say. You know, 6 if I'm being crazy. But to have tens of people, enough that there's a bartender there, there had to have been, I don't know, 30 of us, maybe more. It was so much fun. It's so much fun. I loved it. I was thinking that if I'm not in Australia for my birthday, I have to figure out dates. It's really going to be, my birthday is March 15th, and it's really touch and go if I'm going to be leaving on the 15th, on the 14th, on the 16th, I don't know. But if I'm here, the weather has been really nice lately. Obviously, it's hard to predict, but I would love to have a field day. Just potato sack races, a spoon race where you have the spoon in your mouth and you're holding the egg, three-legged race, water balloon fight. I think that'd be so fun. Anything to exercise a little childlike wonder seems fun. Diane asked how to build a roster. Just to talk. You just have to chat. I feel like I had this weird belief in my head that to have a roster, I had to be fucking everybody. And I was like, I can't possibly, hey, anyone in my family, if you're listening to this, please tune out. Unless you're Morgan. I'll give you an allowance if you're Morgan Lombard. But anyone else, Dad, Aunt Lisa, Aunt Paige, Aunt Yvonne, everybody, knock it off. We don't need to talk about this. But to have a roster, I thought I had to be fucking everyone. I was like, I can't do that. I can't just be fucking everybody. I unfortunately have a heart and I have emotions and I'm sensitive and I will get attached and I will get connected and I can't be doing that. So I think I avoided it and I would talk to one person at a time. And you can talk to multiple people at a time. I don't know when that sort of shifted. I feel like in my early 20s, I was, even when I was casually texting someone, I was monogamous about it. It was so strange. And some of these people I ended up never even developing a relationship with in any capacity. It was just like a monogamous flirtationship. I'm like, and that was monogamous for what? We weren't even doing anything. We weren't committing anything to each other except for conversation. So I think you can start talking to multiple people at a time. And then if people are asking you out, you can go out with multiple people at a time. You know, you can grab a drink with one friend or person, you know. And there's some people that kind of are in a distant rotation, like that I'll see every once in a while and it's flirty, but there's no pressure on it, or someone I'm seeing more actively. It becomes more natural as you get older and you don't need to be having sex with any of them, or you can have sex with all of them. Who cares? But I just in my head was like, oh, to have a roster, I was getting into the brain of a man and I was like, I have to be sleeping with like 2 or 3 people throughout the week and I could never do that. I would want to die. I think that would ruin me. So yeah, casually seeing people, you know, a little kiss here and there. I think that's fine. Start with conversation and then start with seeing them in person and move from there. It can be mutual friends, just be a little bit more open. I was so closed off for, I forget which years of my life these were. Maybe like 25 and 26. That makes sense. I just lost my mom. I'll give myself a little credit. And honestly, I would say 22 and 23. That sucks, actually, if I think about it. I had a breakup when I was just about to turn 21. And when I was 21, I went full me mode. Signed up for classes, started interning, was hosting events. I had a poetry picnic and a clothing swap. And I was really going full force on my YouTube channel. And I was meeting all these friends. I had moved to a new city. I was in go explore mode. Dating was secondary. Maybe not even secondary, beyond that. And then I think I developed a little bit of a block. I was a little bit traumatized from my breakup. And so I would say 22 and 23, I really had a hard time letting anyone in. And then when I was about to turn 24, sticks tongue out, pandemic. And I was told by my, I was in New York, I don't know how to make any disclaimers. I was such a goody two shoes during COVID. If I were to do it again, would I do it a little differently? Potentially, yeah. I think I may have been a tad more strict. Had I known what I know now, I followed every rule. It got to the point where, you know how people are canceling people on the internet? Like, this person's going out and partying, or like, this person's not wearing a mask. I was getting to the point where in my YouTube series, where it was 2 weeks alone in New York City, 10 weeks alone in New York City, people were commenting about Tyra, who's now my roommate, but she was my neighbor in New York at the time. I had people commenting on my YouTube channel, like, I think it'd be okay if you saw Tyra. Like, I think it's all right. It's just your one friend and you're both alone in your apartment. But we were under the impression that we could, you know, go on the wrong sidewalk, catch something and kill each other. We were a little bit extreme. So anyway, turned 24, and this would have been when maybe the healing would have began and I would have been able to get back out there. Maybe the healing had finished. And then 25, I lost my mom. And so I was pretty closed off 25, 26. And so it feels like around 27, I was able to open myself back up to dating. When you add the history and the context, it kind of gives me a bit of relief, because I've thought when I'm reflecting on my 20s, I'm like, there were definitely little years where you are not allowing anyone in, unless, you know, once again, family, tune out, close your ears, skip like 2 seconds ahead. We don't need to say it on the podcast. The point is, I would have to be like belligerently drunk to even think about kissing someone. I was like, oh, I don't want anyone to have romantic access to me whatsoever. And that's mellowed out over the years. And now I feel much more neutral and level-headed about it. And it's arguably fun. If I could tell my 22-year-old self that you have fun chatting with people and seeing them and meeting them and flirting with them and having fun, she'd be like, what? We're not scared. I remember going on my first date after my breakup. I must have been, 22, maybe, like, not quite, but almost. I was shaking so bad, physically shaking. And I told my friend, I was like, I actually need you to hit me in the face. Like, I won't be able to go. I need to be hit in the face. And she hit me. She hit me in the face before I went out. It was that bad. I was telling my therapist about it. She's like, I think we should talk about this. I was like, no, we have bigger fish to fry, Dr. Coco. She's like, okay, whatever. I hope I was able to give you some semblance of advice within that. It was more just like storytelling at that point. Maybe I'll go into that more in the Patreon. I gave a little bit of behind the scenes of the episode with Siafi in the Patreon last week. If you're not familiar, I'll do ad-free extended episodes every week in the Patreon. And I could go into more detail about this. We shall see. Next question. It's so interesting. I don't normally get questions about my coffee order or my nail color, but I have 3 questions about what nail color I like. And I have 3 questions about my coffee order, and that's so strange. Oh, Noelle asked how to date and avoid an attachment. Some would say I'm secure. Some would say that I have an avoid an attachment. I think what you need to do, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a game. You can't be too available. If you're too available, they will feel smothered. They need to feel like you have one foot out. Even if you don't, they just need to sort of feel that way. That way they can maintain their independence. It seems a lot of their attributes and the habits and behaviors feel reminiscent of a narcissist, but they're not. There's a lot of overlap, I would say. But you need to seem like you're not completely in reach at any moment. And when they come close, you can't go too close too soon, because it might freak them out and they might run away and never come back. Because I was discussing yesterday how I've ghosted guys, and I really don't like that about myself. It doesn't align with my beliefs. It feels immature. It feels so easily avoidable. A conversation is a lot more respectable, and I feel regretful of it. And the fact that I've even continued to do it, I'm pretty ashamed of it. I'm not proud of it. I was thinking about this today. On the ride home from the office, goes to the office one time. I should be doing that more often. With an avoidant though, anytime someone comes in too hot, I get so scared and I have to run the other way. But then if they play a game, it's a fine line, because on one hand, they have me hooked. They have my interest. But on the other hand, if they make it too difficult, it's not worth it and I would rather be alone. And so I'll just ditch it completely. I don't have it worked out. I don't have it figured out. I'm so sorry. But you know, I hope that helped. I feel like my advice ability is getting slimmer and slimmer as the questions go on, because I only know what I know and I don't know very much. And every time I think I know something, I'll realize how little I know at all. And it brings me back and I'm like, I'm the dumbest person in the entire world. I've actually never met a dumber person than me. So in moments like that, I'm like, and you want advice? Oh, girl. I have no idea. So I hope I gave you a little something. The irony of seeing a question from Nicola who said, 9 to 5s are so overwhelming. Where is my life going? I feel like I have no free time Monday to Friday. I'm opposite end of the spectrum where I'm coming from self-employment, where I'm like, if I'm not in a disciplined space or if my mental health is suffering, I suddenly feel debilitated and I'm living like this unemployed person. I go from self-employed to unemployed and it's miserable and I feel like I've just fired myself or lost my job. And then you're over here saying, I have no free time Monday through Friday because I'm completely consumed by something and there has to be a better way. I really, really love when corporate jobs offer hybrid or full-time remote. A lot of my friends who have corporate jobs are remote and it gives them a lot more flexibility. They know that they have their projects and they don't have a meeting, that they can go on a walk, that they can get lunch with a friend, that they could take a weekend trip. And last month I read The 4-Hour Workweek and there's a whole chapter about if you feel you are wasting your time in your 9-to-5, how to ask your boss for a day remote, 2 days remote, 3 days remote, and breaking down the science that hypothetically or statistically, scientifically, I'm really losing my steam right now, guys, that 4-day work weeks are oftentimes more efficient than 5-day work weeks. People get more done in less time. For instance, think of how well certain people work under pressure, similar to that. But also I think just because there's a frame from 9 to 5, do we actually all need to work those out? Is that required? Like, is that necessary? Is, I guess, what I'm trying to ask. Every single week? Surely not. That's just the system that we follow. So I think it's worthy questioning it, especially when you're so young. It's like, may as well try. And because I'm withering away, and maybe it's because it's late in the evening, I will cut y'all off here. And I hope you enjoyed my little life update, little chat. Good to hear from you all, she says on a solo podcast where she can hear no one. I hope it was good to hear from me, your good old friend Lexi Lombard. So I will leave you guys, and if you're on the Patreon, stay, and if not, I will talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.